This podcast replay is brought to you by Sloman's Home Security. The first 40 Big O listeners right now, dial 1-800-ALARM-ME. We'll get this limited time offer, a free doorbell camera that connects directly to your smartphone with installation of your Sloman's Shield. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME.
All righty, let's get to it. How you feeling, my man? You feeling all right?
What's up, man? You hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you now. You feeling good? The mint Perfect. Juleps? How were the
good.
Mint juleps?
I'm good.
How were the mint juleps?
We had a lot of mint juleps. They were good. You know, they were, I would say, very sweet. So I had some, but not all. I drank plenty of other stuff. It was, you know, have you been to the Derby? I mean, it is quite a scene there.
The bucket list, dude. I want to go with the wife one day and go do the whole deal, go for a weekend and all that kind of stuff. But I have not been able to do it yet. But that is definitely on the bucket list. It's one of those things that you want to.
You should. You definitely should. It was. Yeah, I mean, I would say as far as just pure sporting events, it's really like it's an interesting one because. You know, you can see some of the race, but not all of the race. So there's still a little bit of intrigue and there's so many people. So like, you know, the 2 minutes before the race starts and the horses were in the gate for like a long time. So the build of anticipation around the stadium with 150,000 people was truly incredible.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. I can imagine, you know, we have one of the great tracks in the country here in Hialeah Park. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous track. And you know, when I was a kid, obviously horse racing was still something. And it was just one of those things I still remember that my dad used to go and all that. It's just, you know, I'm dying to go. It's not a sport I know much about, but I do enjoy watching it. And I do appreciate the horses and everything that they go through. So, yeah, I'm with you there. There's no doubt. Yeah. By the way, I was worried for you. Because, you know, I thought you were going to become number two on the paid list in the NFL, but, you know, it didn't happen. Tom Brady's not passing you. You're making still a little bit more money than Tom Brady. Congratulations to you, sir.
Well, it's quite a day. You know, the Brady number was so interesting, and I saw Fox came out and disputed it, and, yeah. You know, who knows? Either way. It's a lot. I mean, it is a lot. And, you know, the whole world texts me when something like this happens. And, you know, everybody's losing their minds about how much money. First of all, it's not our money. It's
right.
A billionaire corporation's money. And it shows us a bunch of things. One, how unbelievably rich these companies are and how great it is to do business with the NFL. There's endless money. I mean, it's not like, you know, I don't know who Fox was competing with. They might have been competing with just Brady saying, yeah, I'm just going to stay retired. It's more money than he's going to make in his career. I think he'll be good, but the really interesting part of it is I know there were some people who thought, oh, maybe he'll join the Dolphins, maybe he'll join the ownership. Like, this seems to kind of put that to bed a little bit, and that probably upsets some people, but it is what it is at this point, and it's really just a question of, like, when's he actually going to retire now?
Now, this is why a lot of times on the show, I don't allow people to waste my time with hypotheticals, because then we're just, you know, talking crap for hours, and it has nothing to do with the reality of what's going on. Oh, do you think Brady will be our owner next year or the quarterback? It's like, Mike McDaniel's in place, Tua's in place. Let's talk about what's going on now. I don't care what happens a year from now, dude. Let's wait for right now. Let's enjoy right now. So it's just crazy stuff. All right. Craziness. Dude, does Josh Lambeau actually have a case against the Jags and Urban in the NFL? Because if he did file the complaint, like it says in the story, and you basically did nothing except cut him for it, you know, and after all of this, hell, the Jags are not paying Urban Meyer because of this whole mess. Does that also help Josh Lambeau's case?
Well, first of all, we don't know if the Jaguars are paying Urban Meyer. That is still up for debate. And I know they're trying not to pay him. Urban is trying to get some money. As far as I can tell, they have not yet reached a settlement, so we'll see kind of where that stands. The Lambeau thing is interesting because generally these situations get handled by the NFLPA. You know, generally these are sort of grievances, I guess you would say, filed with the PA for, you know, something a team did, and then the PA and the NFL will sort of sanction the Jaguars. This seems to be outside that, and a lot of times legally they'll say, you know what, keep it in NFLPA versus NFL, that kind of thing. The main issue I think that will help Josh Lambeau is, you know, for better or worse, the Jaguars fired Urban Meyer. So he was bad. Like, as a coach, he was bad. But did they fire him in part because of the environment that he created? If they did, then maybe Lambeau has a little case here, because maybe, just maybe, it's sort of the NFL saying, well, it was a hostile work environment, or the Jaguars saying it was a hostile work environment. So a lot to play out, and we'll see if we get an answer on this. But I would say probably at least there is a little something there for Josh Lambeau. I mean, you know, whatever, however you define the kick, Urban Meyer kicking him, it was either a tap or a kick. Something happened. It's really now on a judge to figure out what it is.
All right. This is not for you Dolphin fans out there, because I know you nutbags want to sign everybody possible. Dude, did the Giants screw over James Bradberry? Because, no, I know Dolphin fans go, oh, no, let's have him. We already have two corners down here. Relax, guys. But Bradberry, to release him this late, I know it was a money thing. He's a good player. But, wow, doesn't that put the player in a tough spot now, because a lot of the space is dried up?
Yes, but a lot, but some of this is the player's choosing, because he could have been traded. There was an offer, at least one offer, and it would have made him, you know, forced him to take a pay cut. We'll see if he does better. I mean, he might do better than the whatever the, you know, trade offer would have been, because that's, it would have been
what team,
you know,
was it?
Pick going
what
to the Giants, and then Bradberry agrees to reduce it.
What team was it?
Well, I think there were a couple teams that were snooping around, you know. Some of those teams took corners in the draft. Maybe they're no longer interested. I think the main thing for Bradberry is he going to get more now that he's on the open market, you know, versus before when he would have had to agree to a new deal with a new team as part of a trade. His agents are betting on that he gets more in the open market. Maybe they are right. You know, there's not a lot of, you look around now, not a lot of really good quality legitimate free agents. There's just not. So he's right. One of them. And I'm, my understanding, he's getting some real interest. So it is possible he wins and the price is more than he would have gotten in a trade.
All right. It seems like if you're an ex-Cleveland player, you have a problem finding a home. We've talked about Baker Mayfield several times. Dude, what's up with Treader and Landry? Where do they find homes? And why is this taking so long for both
guys?
So
I think what you mean is, why hasn't Treader signed with the Dolphins yet?
Or anybody else. And Landry also, who, dude, I like him as a slot receiver. He's a tough son bitch. So what's up with both guys? What's the reasonings that they're still available?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times when you get to this point with veterans, they just want more money. And Landry is a tough one because he was offered, I would say, a solid but very incentive-laden deal with the Browns to stay, and then they drafted David Bell, who, you know, could potentially be his replacement. We don't know. Landry could sign now. He could definitely sign. It's just not enough money. So he's got teams interested. He's got, you know, the Ravens. He's got the Browns. He might have some other teams. You know, I know the Saints he visited. That door hasn't been closed there at all. You know, there's still possibilities, but like any veteran, he just wants more money that is being offered, and there's no deadline. Like, everyone wants sort of all this to happen in May. There's no reason for it to happen in May. Maybe before mandatory minicamp, maybe so you can get the playbook over the summer. There's just no deadline. So I think that's sort of where it stands with Landry. Some interest, you know, but probably not enough money. Who was the other one you mentioned?
Treader, of course.
Treader, yeah, that's right. So I think with him, you know, he's in his 30s. He has made a lot of money. He's extremely smart. So post-career, he'll have plenty to do. To me, it's more of like, is he going to play? Does he retire or does he play? I think it would probably, for me, take someone offering him enough money to where he decided to not retire and to come back and play for one more season. That's kind of where Shredder's at right now.
How much of this whole thing is, well, he's the NFLPA, which means pain in the ass in the locker room. Some people say that's the issue also with Shredder, that whoever has that label, that becomes also a problem for teams saying, yeah, I don't want the mouthpiece in my locker room. Any truth to that?
Yeah, I don't think so, because he's such a good guy and he's so sort of conciliatory. Like during all the COVID stuff with the NFL and the NFLPA, he was part of the reasons everyone worked together so well. He's a good guy. He's a smart guy. He's not theatrical. He doesn't rush to the extremes. He just does a really good job. So I think maybe some in this position might, you know, find it as a way to kind of wedge sides apart. He more brings people together. So I don't believe that's something that's stopping him from playing. I think it's more something where he just hasn't been offered enough money yet. And he might not be.
All right. Well, there you go, Dolphin fans. We will wait on the Shredder watch there. All right. Follow him on Twitter at @RapSheet. Catch his work at the NFL Network. And, of course, catch him here every Wednesday doing his thing with our Sloman's Look around the NFL. @RapSheet, Ian, thank you, sir. Appreciate you. We'll catch up next week, my friend. Thank you.